Thank you. Meeting comes to order. Could we do a roll call, please?
Sure. Governor Pat Quinn, Secretary Gary Janet, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Bank.
Here.
Director Tanner.
Here.
Director Morris. Director Fredo.
Here.
Director Ross.
Here.
Director Saldana. Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiser.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Director Saldana, by the way, is out of the country. She's sorry she couldn't be here. I think we have two presentations.
We do. First one, Rocco's been back two for two, I'm sure, this meeting. And we're going to do what we're calling the regional project presentation. Let me just set this up a little bit for you. As all of you know, we have gone through a significant amount of work and presentations in 2010 on various projects that may be of significance to the tollway in the future. What we tried to do in this presentation is, you know, we recognize that those have all taken place in individual meetings spanning many, many months. So what we're trying to do is create, you know, a framework around which we can start to compare the projects one against the other. This is not that comparison, but is the framework and some of the items and details that we would be hoping to, you know, either take information that we've already heard or develop information so that we can create, you know, a stronger overview of, you know, the projects compared to each other. So what we're hoping is that, you know, we've done some work around this. Rock has done a significant amount of work, so thank you in advance for all of your work. What we're hoping is that the directors can provide some feedback of additional information they would maybe want to see about any of the projects or on a comparative basis, how they would hope to, you know, move forward with the evaluation and what types of detail they would want to see as we're doing that. So I hope that was clear enough.
And let me just underscore that. We will get to our agenda on time, maybe even a little early, Christy's thinking. But we would like really to have you devote some thought and conversation to this, because this is the framework that we'll use going forward, thinking about what are the priorities for the tollway. And it would be important that we do that in an objective and clear way on the front end, so as we're getting into the middle of the process, we don't suddenly discover, oh, we really like this because of that, and it looks as if we're doing something that's out of sync with the other project. This is a way of having a set of criteria that everybody understands, so nobody is concerned as we go through the process of triaging that somehow we've done something that doesn't look kosher, basically. So this is going to be the framework for doing that.
Thank you. And if we could keep this as kind of a combination presentation, open discussion, that would be ideal. So please chime in as we go along. So as you know, we presented a myriad of information to you over the past year. We just want to make sure that you are equipped with a sufficient level of information to do the evaluations of all these projects that we've discussed.
Can't go backwards from this one.
You know what? I might be able to figure out a way to do it. So here's the list of projects that we've discussed over the time: 294-57, the I-90 corridor, Elgin Illinois bypass, brought up again today, Illinois 53 extension. We talked about congestion pricing, managed lanes, Prairie Parkway, Illinois corridor, and our total system-wide needs. A lot of the staff, some in this room and others, have, you know, almost 20 years experience in some of these projects. You've been provided a 30 to 40 minute presentation and some discussion about the project. What we really want to do is, you know, in the presentations that I've done and that Paul's done, we pulled out what we feel to be the most pertinent and most relevant information as part of the project that really aligns with some of our agency's long-term goals. And we do want to just make sure that we're moving forward in the right direction. So the overall goal, I got to do it.
As long as you can move forward, I truly
don't plan on doing that. So the goal of this evaluation is to provide that information for you to review and evaluate these projects. We want to make sure that these are data-driven decision-making that we're using. It's not just based on a thought or a feel. We can provide as much data as you would like to help you make these decisions, and I want to start pulling that together to meet your needs. We'd like to make sure that there's a consistent source of information that's being used to evaluate these projects. And after I go through this today, really to identify what additional information you require that would help make some decisions in your evaluations. So some of the categories that we've developed, and these categories are really representative of the discussions and notes that I've been taking from the board and the discussions that we've had after the board meeting. We've also come up with these categories to really align with the goals and the principles of the strategic advisory team report that was released late last year. Really want to hear your thoughts about these different categories. So the categories that we're going to discuss today is financial sustainability. That's been brought up over and over and again today. We want to look at how do we maximize our existing assets. And I'm going to go into detail on each one of these things. Fostering environmental responsibility and sustainability. Collaboration with all the different regional transportation agencies that we have. Gauge the level of community support that's out there and ultimately promote economic growth. So from a financial sustainability, the goal of with financial sustainability is to evaluate each project to assess the overall financial viability using the expected total revenue, as well as identify opportunities for alternative or supplemental funding sources. Some of the data for evaluation that we could include, and really like to hear your thoughts on, is this sufficient? Do you want more? Do you want something different? We can look at the project cost and the estimated total revenue, looking at, as Director Moore said today, looking at some of these traffic projections and looking at the diversions, what happens system-wide. We could look at the opportunities for federal funding on the project. Some of these projects that I've discussed and presented have already gone through what's called the National Environmental Protection Act or the NEPA process and may be eligible for some federal funding, maybe something that there may be some other federal funding programs that would be eligible for these projects. Other opportunities for innovative or leveraging private investment as part of the project. The Balmoral project that I discussed earlier today might be a good example of that. The partnership project that we had with the that we talked a little bit about in Huntley, the 9047 interchange, could be another example of that. Are there other opportunities to leverage some private and innovative financing districts, whatever it might be? We could look at how we could optimize the timing of the project to minimize the cost. It's something that we've heard about, possibilities with the I-90 corridor, I think last month. Or can we maximize revenue by actually advancing a project and start reaping some of the revenue impacts now? So some of the, from the financial sustainability, these are the categories or the type of data that we can start providing to you to make these decisions. Do you feel this is sufficient? Is there something else that you think you'd like to see from a financial sustainability point, or have we hit it? Anything?
Yeah. And I hate to be a source word, but other than the first, second, and the last item that you had for the list of things that we should look at, because those have to do with safety on the highway, on our current system, I think I remember. Time I had, you had the I-90 corridor, the connection of I-57 and 294, and then general tollway needs. Mm-hmm. Those obviously are things that we really have to focus on, it seems to me. The other items, it seems, until we know we can do it financially, I'm not sure how much time it's worth our staff spending or us spending, because we know what our financial situation is, and I think the first thing that needed to be done with those other items is see if there's other ways to finance them, because it's clear that our tollway can't finance them.
Well, I think that's where, when we get into the financial sustainability, the opportunity for innovative or private financing or financing districts are the things. I know we're certainly exploring that as part of the financing group for the Elgin O'Hare West Bypass. So I think that's where it would come in. I think there should be plenty of opportunity in evaluating the universe of projects that we went over in the last year, certainly for the directors to say we need to prioritize our own system above any new infrastructure, and that would seem a very appropriate position to take. Much of the information, what we've tried to do here, is not necessarily create data that we don't already have or can't easily get or have access to. So I don't know that the question about staff time You know, I appreciate your overarching point, but the question about staff time to collect this information, I think that we should be in fairly good shape in that regard. And I do think we've heard from a lot of communities that they're very interested in some of these projects. And I think that to keep them in the mix, ultimately, maybe prioritizing existing system needs, which again I think is really appropriate, certainly makes sense, and I think it's the prudent thing to do. But I agree, we have to figure out how to pay for them.
There's a philosophical issue, and that's kind of what the state is struggling with right now, is we have what I believe is basically a well-run system of X number of miles. It's now in pretty good maintenance shape, and there's still a few maintenance items that need to be done, and if we do preventive maintenance. So one issue is we stay where we're at and do it very well and keep that going. That's issue number one. Issue number two becomes, philosophically, do we believe as a board and as a staff that new projects should pay for themselves or have the potential to pay for themselves without diverting revenue from the existing system? Those are two major, it's a philosophical. And I think what, you know, it's my understanding what they're doing in the state of Illinois now is that there's more and more pressure being applied by the governor's office and some of the leaders in both parties to say any new programs have to show their source of revenue, i.e. be self-supporting or identify a new source of revenue. And I think that's a philosophical issue that all of this data is one issue, but the other issue is how we approach that, and I don't think we've come to a resolution even as a board on that, and sometimes we have to come to that.
Right.
Because I agree, if we can do the existing system and do it bang up job and keep it as a B plus A minus, that should be our first priority. And then the question of expanding, if you have to take from A to expand B, that becomes debatable. So I think if as long as we don't spend a zillion dollars of time and staff and energy.
No, I think that, you know, clearly our system right now supports itself. You know, the individual components of our system all work together to support the system
exactly.
As a whole. So, you know, the question is, do you want to continue that, either with the existing system or even, you know, contemplating new projects? But again, the system supporting itself, do individual projects need to stand alone? I think those are all, you know, very important conversations to have. Clearly, the tollway has taken one position historically, and maybe that continues or maybe it changes. So,
because actually, we should have probably not done 355. That was actually subsidized and still is heavily subsidized by the rest of the system. And you know, I think that's why the tolls are a little higher on 355 and that. And so going forward, we need to look at those too, as you're saying, for this exit this morning. If we're going to do something new, is that a 75-cent toll versus a 45 or 40-cent toll somewhere else? Because I think now that 355 is maturing, it was not a bad congestion decision, it was not a bad environmental decision, but the reality was that there was not a new source of revenue identified to basically do that. It was to finish out something that needed to be done, or at least that's how it was perceived at the time.
Which suggests that it wasn't that we shouldn't have done it, it was done perhaps understanding that it wasn't initially financially viable and there may have been other reasons to do it.
And that was a different time in a different place.
Right. And it also may long-term promote economic development and have a return on the investment that is going to be greater than what we would have gotten with the tollway.
Yes, but the one that goes up into Lake County will actually probably not pay for itself, but it would provide significant congestion relief, as 355 did. And that's a $2 or $3 billion decision, which would be significant toll adjustments across the system. The same with all of these. And I think in this more modern time, the approach seems to be much more kind of pay as you go versus the broad system absorbing the cost. At least that's the message that seems to be across the board from across the country with the new governors and stuff.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, and it's along those lines, to prioritize these, the reality of any business, and this is a business, is can you do it financially?
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, we can sustain our system financially. I mean, we better be able to. And Mike went through some of that last board meeting, and we have some extra money, but But short of that, it's difficult to prioritize to really know what the cost and how it would be funded.
The last board meeting, I don't know that that's necessarily what we saw. You know, we saw a lot of needs for our existing system will be unmet. So I think that there are, you're right, that there are decisions that need to be made. What we're trying to do here, and I think that it's very helpful to hear this feedback because maybe there are additional steps to be taken, but what we're trying to do here is, as we look at this universe of projects, we went through a process last year of talking about them individually, but how do we compare them one against the other? And the financial question, financial sustainability, needs to be a big part of it. We also have some other evaluation criteria that I think get to the point of, our existing system versus new infrastructure and, how we are being responsible as a business to make sure that we're protecting what we have. So I think that...
Perhaps in the projects reviewed to date, just because when that's looked at, sometimes people think that that's a list of priorities.
Mm-hmm.
You should take the tollway system-wide needs and put it on the top.
Right.
Just so visually it's there all the time, because first and foremost, that's it. 2,800 miles and 2,200 lane miles, I think is the number. 2,200, 2,300, something like that. That's the first priority, without question. And, as we look at these other things, we know the challenge is going to be there because of the integral role this agency plays in the transportation system and network of Metropolitan Chicago, clearly. And it may play a broader role in the future across the state just because of challenges and how well this agency has done what it's done. Because we've done well to this point doesn't mean the model is going to be the same going forward. And we have to look at those things and understand that there's different pricing mechanisms. There's congestion pricing that might generate some of that revenue for a new interchange or a new extension or whatever it might be. And there's other pricing mechanisms that say, look, because of the electronic capability that we have, certain toll booths may be more. I mean, I think we have to look at that and understand that we price things the same way. I mean, we're going to have an 80-cent potential toll at the northbound exit of Balmoral. And that's I-Pass, and there's no cash there. So, we're looking at things a little differently, and we're going to have to. The only reason this agency has run as well as it has is because it has looked at that fiscal responsibility and constraint that's always there.
I think, what I'm hearing, something a little bit broader. It's not only putting the system needs up at the top, but it's also, we have to figure out a way to present this so we're not choosing among priorities only. We're thinking about what is our role in northeastern Illinois.
That's right.
And if there's a demand out there for us to do something beyond what would be the cumulative individual priorities based on current financial situation, do we have an obligation to think about how do we do that? So if we say there's just a limited financial cap on here, now let's figure out how to prioritize within that cap. That's one way of thinking about it. Another way of thinking about it is, for the moment, let's suspend the idea that there's a cap and let's think about what does the region need, and then let's match up those two realities. What's the cap? What's the need? And how do we think about that? Always coming down on the side that we have to be financially sustainable.
Or do you prioritize within the cap what's reality? Okay, that's reality. Once we've done that, then we can go beyond.
Yeah, and I don't think it matters which order we do it in, but we just have to remember we shouldn't allow our thinking to be constrained only by the cap, and we have to allow ourselves to think outside that, so it's not one priority against another within a confined context.
But I think you're right. When you look at this project's review to date list, we do need to separate out the tollway system-wide needs and, frankly, the I-90 corridor, and not kind of create a list that includes those or makes it appear that we would think about those in the same way we think about new infrastructure, because I don't think any of us are of the opinion that we necessarily should. So we'll do that going forward.
And I think that leads well into the next criteria.
Absolutely. Directing Director Morris's comment, having been here for 355, we knew that it wasn't going to pay for itself. I mean, that was clearly discussed, unless you had a higher toll. But there wasn't a... everybody wanted to keep the tolls about where they were. So it was clear that it was going to be subsidized by the rest of the system, essentially $2.94.
And I think that's okay.
That's what happened.
And that was an appropriate decision at that time. But in the more modern era now that we face, if you take 355 and look at the map, that really becomes the extension that goes up into Lake County, and it becomes the extension that goes into Indiana. And we look at that whole part of the system, it's an expansion of the system. And I think philosophically, at least where I'm at, is if that were to be done today in my world, and maybe the tolls would be excessive and you couldn't do it, but if the toll on 94 is 80 cents, the toll there might have to be 250 or 3, I don't know.
Right.
And I think we just need to be able to put those numbers out there, and then as the chair says, we try to work to somewhere in the middle and see if there's some middle ground. But we need to be very honest with the public that if we do the Western Access, that could be a substantially higher toll than if you stay on the front part. If we do 355, assume that's all one piece, extended into Lake County and extended to Indiana, that may be a substantially higher toll. And then people, users, have to make the choice, do they use Road A, B, or C? And then our experts have to tell us how many will go here or there. I feel like the same with the shot to Rockford. Seems to me logical that that's the first place to try one of these kind of speed lanes that was presented at one time, where we add a new lane on either side, possibly, but that lane is you pay $3 to go in that lane versus the buck or whatever it costs to get to Rockford and O'Hare now, and people make that decision right away as they pull up. They say, am I willing to have I-Pass hit me for $3 versus hitting me for 80 cents? And I think those kind of things are critical now, and it's just, I think it's just the more the view in the 2010 forward is more pay as you go versus taking a little from here and moving it over there.
Well, I think it's tapped out, though.
There's not room because the $7 million, billion-dollar congestion relief plan obviously has come up about $1 billion short, as I think was presented last month already, to finish 90. We got $5.6 billion, if I recall, and to finish 90 would have taken it to roughly 7, so that here we sit with a billion-dollar, or I think $800,000 leg that we're going to be pinched a bit to even finance that within our existing revenues.
I think that one thing from this, definitely what we'll have to do is add, under project cost and estimated toll revenue, and this is, I think, implied, but maybe not explicit, you know, tolling scenarios or toll pricing. I mean, it's certainly implied in that, but, you know, it's clear that that's something that will be important to highlight, too. So, do we want to talk about the, are we ready to move on to the next one? Useful discussion.
We should. I'd like a line for state funding.
State funding?
Yeah, I'd like a line for state funding, and this is one of my hot buttons. We send a heck of a lot of our money to central and southern Illinois from the motor fuel tax, and this end of the state loses a significant share of the motor fuel tax, and we subsidize 280 miles of roads as northern Illinois residents for the most part. And I think state funding ought to be part of the consideration if we are looking at this all along the economic development perspective. If we are part of the economic development engine of the state of Illinois, it is appropriate that the state be our partner, and I mean a financial partner, possibly in some of these projects, because our system already subsidizes the state highway system, A, our users do, and B, a lot of this would help create the economic engine over there with that intermodal project that's going on over there. And maybe at some point the state needs to, either through its motor fuel tax or whatever, as it gets its financial house in order, be willing to put money in there and not always look to Uncle Sam. Obviously, they're going to a billion, some trillion spy deficit as of this year. You know, the state maybe has to be a more equal partner in the financing. So I would put another bullet point in there.
Actually, I got that. Maybe it just should go here, but I do have it as part of a different section. And when we talk about region collaboration, state funds.
So you're essentially saying let's shift that 55-45 formula that's used now to maybe turn it upside down.
Well, actually, someday I will probably make that motion that we advocate that in Springfield, but I'm not prepared to do that in the stress they're under right now. But I believe that formula actually does need to be adjusted to Northern Illinois, whether it comes to the tollway or whether it comes to the...
Your point is not to the formula, because we're not... considered part of the formula.
The state formula.
I think what you're suggesting is that we be considered part of the road system for purposes of
Exactly. Of
that formula.
Right. Understood. No, no, I
And then step two is that they readjust the formula.
Let's
I'd like to get into it.
Let's let go to
that. We are going to have that discussion someday because, as I said, the model we've used to this point may need to be modified, and that's what we're talking about. And state involvement might be something like IDOT says, we can't do that new road. Tollway, we want you to do it, and we'll assist you however we can.
We can maintain it once it's built or whatever. Because we've had a whole parade of legislators stand up there right at that lectern telling us how they want us to do every one of these projects that's going to benefit their districts and say, God love you, do it. And then they run back home and say, well, I'm not raising any state taxes. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And the reality is they can help pay for it. It's clear we are very good, once the system is built, of maintaining it and operating it and keeping it cost efficient. So I think at some point, you know, they need to, you know, person up, so to speak.
In my person up. Go ahead.
I would just say I would certainly characterize this as a free-flowing conversation. And we start out, we weren't going to talk about specific projects. We're going to talk about the criteria on which we base our decisions. And then we started talking about whether we should talk about the criteria. And then we started talking about... So I would just suggest, you know, and I mean this in all humility, that we get back on the agenda here.
I agree. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Drifting off.
Thanks for helping me transition back to
where I was in
the logical transition 10 minutes ago to how the next criteria that we want to look at. And again, this is what we're trying to find. What information do you need? Maximize use of existing assets. That's kind of what we're talking about. Let's look at our own system-wide leads. Let's look at the I-90 corridor. The goal here is to identify to what extent the project utilizes or leverages existing assets and infrastructure. What we want to do is lessen the financial burden on the tollway itself, but also consider how we can lessen the financial burden on the state or local governments into the future. So some of the data that we could use for evaluation would be an asset utilization model. We can work with one of the universities. There's plenty of universities out there to work with, or we could work with the with CMAP to develop a utilization model, or use our own staff and resources to look at an asset utilization model. Other things that we could look at, we could consider the extent of new or expanded or existing roadways that are going to be required for the project. Does the project require expanding the existing roadway, like the I-90s, the 294, 57s? Does it require entirely new roadways? And what's the extent of new roadways that are required for each one of these projects? So we could look at, you know, through this, you'll get at the... through some of this, get a sense of the are these existing roads, are we infilling, are these new roads, or is it, do we need a supporting roadway and infrastructure network to support the future development that comes out that way? So it's really looking at the overall asset management of our existing assets. So these are some of the categories that we could, or data that we could pull together for you. Is there something else that you think might be helpful?
Is there a way to kind of the point of a lot of things that I've read since I joined the board? I don't know of any road in the country that's paid for itself. That is a given. Is there a way to look at our existing system and take the information that's already available in the big book that we get every year of all the statistical analysis and distill it down to maybe one page that says, here's how long I-90 is, here's how long 294 is, and here's how many vehicles travel a day, here's how much it costs us to maintain it, here's how much revenue we need to make sure we can maintain it,